It is July 25th, 2022, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. It was 27 years ago today that my wife showed incredible market awareness and called me right after the 3:15 p.m. stock index market close to tell me she was in labor with our first son, that her water had broken, and I should come home directly. I bolted right out of the office to the train station and arrived home as quickly as I could. A quick trip to the doctor's office confirmed her suspicions. However, the baby was breech, and we were headed to the hospital for an emergency cesarean section. When Timothy James Lothian came into the world, it was butt first. So his first official act in this world was to moon the doctor. And that is all you need to know about Tim and his sense of humor. I drove home that evening, after Tim came into the world, with tears of joy in my eyes. My life would never be the same and has only gotten better. David Prosperi did not stay, quote-unquote, retired very long. He has been named Executive Vice President and Managing Director of Kemper Lesnick, a Chicago-based public relations brand activation and events agency. Prosperi will oversee the public relations and content business for Kemper Lesnick and report to CEO Steve Skinner, the son of Sam Skinner, former U.S. Secretary of Transportation and White House Chief of Staff under President George H.W. Bush. Congratulations to David on his new position. I hope he still has time to be on our advisory committee. Today, we have a video in the Path to Electronic Trading video series from JLN and MarketsWiki Education that features the story of Mark Smith, the founder of the Nextrade ECN and Matchbox FX electronic foreign currency platform, who today is involved in the crypto world. In part one of our two-part interview, he talks about being recruited to Raymond James because of his competitive swimming background, but then pivoting into a career of perpetual entrepreneurship. I have a correction from last week. Ralph Goldenberg passed away early Monday morning at 4:45 a.m., not on Sunday, as earlier reported by JLN. We apologize for the error. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's the video. Mark Smith's path to electronic trading is awash in entrepreneurial drive. The path to electronic trading for Mark Smith started in a pool. He wanted to be an Olympic swimmer, a singular focus that took him to the Olympic trials of 1988 and 1992, but not to the Olympic Games, though he did swim in the Pan American Games of 1991. That competitive drive earned him a job with Raymond James as a junior investment banker in Florida. However, a client quickly told him his future was as an entrepreneur, so Smith embarked on his first startup, a day trading shop. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from NPR. How Chicago came to love the Italian beef sandwich. Chicago is rich with iconic foods. There's the classic Chicago hot dog with just about everything on it except ketchup. There's deep dish pizza. There's barbecue, flaming Sagansky, chicken Vesuvio, and cheese and caramel popcorn. And of course, there's the Italian beef sandwich. The new FX series called The Bear was shown a spotlight on the dish. The show is about a fine dining chef who returns home to Chicago to manage his family's Italian beef shop. Like any great series, there's the drama, comedy, and pathos. But there's also about the food. Thinly sliced beef, sweet peppers, pickled vegetable relish called giardiniera, all stuffed into an Italian loaf topped with au jus. My comment, outside of Chicago, it's not all the same. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Laughter is a weapon Putin can't fire back. Humor helps people tolerate repressive regimes. Can satire and the mischievous Mezhanya help keep defiance alive in Russia? Dictators are rarely funny, even ones who cultivate bare-chested, bear-hugging personas and have a penchant for extra-long tables. In more than 20 years of watching Russian President Vladimir Putin, I can't recall him laughing spontaneously or cracking a joke, certainly not a memorable one. Perhaps because there's nothing amusing about repression, violence, or war waged on a peaceful neighbor. My comment, forget HIMARS, try old-fashioned humors. Here's another story, this one from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, calling in sick or going on vacation. Workers aren't showing up this summer. Employers struggle with staffing as high COVID-19 infection rate, a long-standing labor shortage, and vacation season converge. The summer is proving to be a season of staffing headaches. A rise in COVID-19 absences in recent weeks amid the spread of the BA.5 subvariant combined with planned time off has left restaurants, hotel chains, manufacturers, and other workplaces struggling to keep operations running this summer. At some companies, bosses say staffing is harder now than in any previous stage in the pandemic. For the period from June 29th to July 11th, 3.9 Americans said that they didn't work because they were sick with COVID-19 or were caring for someone with it, according to Census Bureau data. In the comparable period last year, 1.8 million people also missed work for those reasons. My comment, get used to slow service. It's the new normal. Here's a story from the Chicago Tribune. Downtown Chicago is awash in summer tourists, but a key driver of retail activity is missing, office workers. Tourists have returned to Chicago's downtown this summer, and anyone looking at the crowds thronging Millennium Park, the Riverwalk, and stores on Michigan Avenue might think that the city's pandemic crisis is past. But for rent signs still cover many downtown storefronts, and office workers remain scarce, which means fewer customers for Loop retailers. My comment, at least the tourists are back. Here are the top three stories from Friday's JLN. Our top story Friday was the U.S.'s first crypto insider trading case could mean serious trouble for Coinbase from Quartz. Second was Citadel's Miami Tower offers a chance to put stamp on waterfront from Bloomberg. Third was don't call it a swamp. The CFT asserts jurisdiction where it shouldn't. A commentary from Jones Day. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. First from the FT. Global shortage of fiber optic cable threatens digital growth. Rising prices of critical components cast shadow over 5G rollout and developments of data centers. A worldwide shortage of fiber optic cable has driven up prices and lengthened lead times, endangering companies' ambitious plans to roll out state-of-the-art telecommunications infrastructure. Europe, India, and China are among the regions most affected by the crunch, with prices for fiber rising by up to 70% from the record lows in March 2021. From $3.70 to $6.30 per fiber kilometer, according to Crew Group, a market intelligence firm. Although the pandemic prompted some of the biggest tech and telecoms groups to slash their capex, there has been a surge in demand for internet and data services, leading to a shortfall in availability of the crucial but often overlooked material. Here's a story from CoinDesk. SEC will need to prove tokens are securities in Coinbase insider trading case, legal expert says. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission will need to prove the tokens listed on the Coinbase crypto exchange are securities for it to pursue its current insider trading case against a former Coinbase product manager and his associates, according to a former prosecutor. Ian McGinley, now a partner at the law firm of Aiken Gump Strauss Hauer and Feld, told CoinDesk TV's First Mover Friday that the SEC couldn't have filed the case unless the tokens in question are securities. They don't have a wire fraud statute like the DOJ does, McGinley says, referring to wire fraud charges issued by the U.S. Department of Justice on Thursday. McGinley, who served for more than a decade as an assistant U.S. attorney in the Southern District of New York, noted that the Justice Department can sidestep the debate of whether the tokens are securities. Here's another story from Bloomberg. How London paid a record price to dodge a blackout. The UK heatwave also saw an unhappy benchmark in the energy crisis. Last week, unbeknown to many outside the power industry, parts of London came remarkably close to a blackout, even as it was recovering from the hottest day in British history. On the 20th of July, surging electricity demand collided with a bottleneck in the grid, leaving the eastern part of the British capital briefly short of power. Only by paying a record high £9,724.54, about $11,685 per megawatt hour, more than 5,000% higher than the typical price, did the UK avoid homes and businesses going dark. That was the nosebleed cost to persuade Belgium to crank up agingless electricity plants to send energy across the English Channel. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.